dear and beloved listeners, welcome to our radio. Today we have something very important to share with you, something very interesting that many of you maybe are wondering. We will get to know better Brother Joseph. Brother Joseph, God bless you.
Hi, praise the Lord.
Amen. So today we have lots of questions about you, about your life, about your conversion, everything that you can tell us about you, because we know a lot of your message and the prophecies you're teaching from the Bible. Many people are following your messages. But what about you? Who are you, Brother Joseph?
But I'm not important. What do you want to talk about me?
I do want. It must be somebody interesting behind that message.
So what do you want to know?
Well, tell us about you,
how
you started.
I usually don't like talking about me so much because I'm kind of against like a personality cult.
That's okay.
That's why I don't like people carrying my pitch, this and that, also for security.
But right,
I really saw so many people, so many Christian leaders fall because they were just me, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm nobody, I'm nothing. If I can just be a little finger pointing to Jesus, that's all I want to be, okay? I want to decrease and let him increase. Praise God.
So start from the beginning. You are from Italy, yeah. And how did you start your career?
I was from Italy.
Now
I am from heaven, a child of heaven.
How did you start your life with the Lord?
Well, my father was always talking about the gospel according to Mark. That was the only gospel he was talking about.
The Marx.
The gospel of Marx. That is with an X at the end.
Yeah, understood, yes.
Karl Marx.
So he was a communist.
Definitely. Right. He was a very good man. He was a godly man. He was one of those sincere guys who really believed that communists can help the people. Mm-hmm. Now, since in Italy, communists never took over, so he could believe that. Okay, but if you go to a place where communists did take over, you make your head stand up. So anyway, I had the blessing to pray with him. He prayed to receive Jesus, accepted Christ. And, when he died, he believed in Jesus.
Wow, praise the Lord.
His brain was brainwashed about communism. He always was kind of communist guy, but he was not like anti-God, anti-Christ, not at all. Mm-hmm. My mother was a nominal Christian, actually. My father would go to church only when there was a funeral, but he would wait outside. So that's as far as my parents.
When did you get converted?
I was 9 years old when
I
received the salvation of Jesus. Because about 7 years old, coming from a family so screwed up spiritually, even though it was a very good family. Like my father had a very, very good prince. He was a godly man. He had this godly principle, but I didn't know they were from Jesus, okay? But they were. Mm-hmm. He really kept my family together. He really loved the family. He would have died for me. For my family, he really kept the family together. Mm-hmm. And my father was really the one who really shaped my life in the beginning. So many good principles. And then when he received Jesus, that was just
that's good.
Perfect.
So what happened at 9 years old?
At 9 years old, well, my life begins when I was about seven, my spiritual life. I had a recurrent dream of dreaming of something all the time. I had two dreams, actually. They were one after the other, like always the same dream, the same two dreams. So the first one was I had died and they buried me. Mm-hmm. And in the tomb, after everybody left the cemetery, I would wake up. I start banging on the coffin, trying to get out. And in fact, all my life, I was always scared of closed things. I never liked to be in a closed thing. Mm-hmm. I was paranoid for that because of this nightmare. Okay, and then at that time, I would have the second part of the dream. I would be out of the coffin this time, and I was in hell. Like, no lake of fire, but like it was kind of a cave with demons around. Like, they would look like human beings, you know, that like full of blood, full of junk. They were torturing me, beating me up all the time. So you can imagine, I was a 7 year old, 8 years old. We wake up screaming in the night. My mother would come, "What's going on? What's going on?" I wouldn't even say hell because I didn't know what hell was. See, my parents never taught me and told me about heaven or hell or God or Jesus. They didn't believe. And so I didn't know what that was, but just screaming. And this went on and on. My life was a mess. I was really scared to death. Then one day, walking in the street, I found a piece of a gospel tract just thrown. It was just two pictures.
Two pictures?
Two pictures. I think it was a Catholic teaching. And there were just a picture. One was people suffering in hell, being tortured in hell by the demons, and another was heaven. Okay, so bang, it exploded. The Holy Spirit started speaking to me through that. I believe that. I began, especially the first picture, hell. And so then I saw the second picture. How do I get there? So I started asking my parents. My parents were making fun of me. Oh, there is no heaven. There is no God. So I kept asking everybody. But then one day, my one auntie told me, you just have to receive Jesus Christ to be saved.
Thank you, Lord.
And so to make a long story short, a nine-year-old, I received Jesus. And it was like an explosion.
You had an experience?
Yeah, I had an experience. I became very, very, like, it was like a heat. It came into me and just began to sweat. It was incredible. It was wonderful. And so I got saved. And the very same night when that happened, I had a dream. And that was the last time I had a terrible dream about hell. From that night, a new dreams began. Now I was a prince. My father was the king was the greatest king of the kingdom. I don't know what kingdom was. Now I understand that was heaven. And I was dressed up like a prince. You know those costumes in the Renaissance, a beautiful costume, prince and kings and ladies. I was dressed up like that. I had a beautiful mantle of velvet with the jewels and diamonds all over. And everybody in this beautiful, beautiful castle was serving me. They were all greeting me, bowing down to me.
That's beautiful.
And I was the son of the king. And then there was a message in this dream would come to me, that I had to go for a long, long trip. My father was going to send me in order for me not to become a spoiled prince. So, and this long trip was the life I was waking up to every morning. You know, I knew this. In fact, I remember looking at the people, say, they just pretended, they're not real. They're not really mean, they're not really bad to me. They just pretended because they're trying to teach me because I'm a prince, my father doesn't want me to get spoiled. That's it. So in a nutshell, that's how I got converted.
Thank you, Jesus.
And since then, I never had any bad dreams.
Thank you, Lord.
And my parents were always commenting, I was always a courageous guy. I was never afraid of anything.
Thank you, Lord.
Except, as I said, that I didn't like to be locked up. But everything else, I mean, I was in fights many times as a teen. We were beating each other's up a few times. It happened 2-3 times. But I was never scared of that. The salvation took every fear away from me.
Amen.
You know, and basically since then, I was never really afraid in my life of nothing. And then at 25 years old, I had another experience. And I was there working in hotels. And I met some Christian.
So until 25 years old, you lived a normal life?
Yeah, until 25 years old. I started working at 9 years old.
Wow.
Okay, after the war, Italy was kind of screwed up, and I had to go to work at 9 years old. And so at 25 years old, I kept working and everything. I was working in hotels. I met some Christian, non-denominational. They were witnessing and preaching the gospel everywhere. This happened in England. With them, I prayed again to receive Jesus, but said what I received really was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The same day, and in fact the following day, I went evangelizing with them, and then we were stopping people in the streets, right and left, and that's how I began. Then I went to Italy after a few months, evangelizing there too, then I went around the world.
So who did you work with? Were alone, or
Argentina, with different Christians.
Like what?
Sometimes they were Pentecostal, sometimes Baptist, sometimes even some free Catholics, you know, charismatics. Visit some about 40 different churches of charismatics. We're very pretty open. So I learned right away that if I wanted to get anywhere, I had to be just Christian, independent, so I could go everywhere. I didn't like to be a Pentecostal, going to Pentecostal, Catholic, going to Catholics. You know, I like to be free to go everywhere, whenever the Holy Spirit leads, and that's it. And it's wonderful. I counsel this to everybody.
Amen.
Just be a Christian of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not a Christian of this sect or the other. Christian of Christ. And go everywhere, wherever Jesus leads.
Thank you, Lord. So you work with different kind of religions, basically?
Yeah, different all kinds. So like, preferably, mostly with non-denominationals, because like, it's kind of the same language.
You don't have to
be so hung up. you know, just Holy Spirit, freedom of the Bible, and the freedom in Jesus, and all locked up in a sect. You understand?
Yes. And in what countries have you been as a missionary?
Well, India for a few years, Argentina, Peru, Venezuela, some islands in the Antilles, between Cuba and Venezuela over there, different islands. We got persecuted a few times. The police forbade us to preach the gospel there. And then I was in India for a few years. And then when I came back from India, I went to Serbia. But there was a war there. The Americans were bombing. So I asked some Americans with me, so I had to get out. And then we went to Romania with a good witness in there.
Yes, that's why I'm here.
Yeah, and you are half Romanian, half Hungarian,
yes.
Right?
Yes, that's also where we met. That's also where we met.
Okay,
that was Deborah.
That's my beloved wife.
That's many years ago now.
Yeah, I remember you.
To work in orphanages as a volunteer there.
Then we went to work also in Poland. We were working.
Yes.
So you came there for you were working in orphanages. Right?
Orphanages. Yeah.
And then you found an orphan and you concentrated on that.
Do you mean you?
Yes.
Yes. Something like that.
And so anyway.
Tell us, how did you get saved, Deborah?
Well, I was brought up in a Christian home. Like, we always went to church and all these things. But when I was 12, 13, I actually decided to give my life to the Lord. And then later, I decided I wanted to do more. I didn't know what. I received the Holy Spirit when I was around 20.
You went to Africa, too?
Yes, I went to Africa. I went to the Philippines. Volunteer works,
in Africa
too,
was,
in Christian
was
works.
In Tanzania.
I had a cousin there working as a missionary. So I went there just for a month, though, how it was, you know,
place.
To be a missionary. I guess that was the beginning of my... But I never actually thought I would be a missionary because, you know, that's, far out. I thought that was far from my reach. I thought, you know, I had to be like everybody else, to have a diploma, work and house and, you know, all these things.
And they went to the Philippines?
I went to the Philippines, yes, to also work with the church there.
Right. And then you went to Eastern Europe where we met, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, our love story is kind of funny because... I've always been afraid to get close to girls because I don't want to get in the flesh and stuff. So this went on for a long time. But then one day came and you, Debbie, you came to me one day out of the blue and you said something.
I did.
She proposed you?
Yeah.
No, I asked, do you need anything? No, I don't know. I guess I felt the Lord.
You said the Lord spoke to me.
Direction.
He said the Lord spoke to me.
Yes.
Okay. And you
to take care of that orphan.
Let me.
No.
So,
not like that.
You know, and just you told me about your love for me, actually.
Yes.
Right now, you're a little shy. Okay. So, it's a love story that actually was a case that a girl proposes the guy. And so, of course, I prayed and asked the Lord, and I also got a confirmation. And so, here we are, 6 children later.
Wow.
So, it's a beautiful marriage, blessed by the Lord.
You surely got stuck, Debbie.
I don't mind. That's fine.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, tell us, Joseph and Deborah, what are your main ministries?
Well, I am my wife's main ministry because I'm her mission field.
I don't agree. I think there's more to it than that.
Okay, anyway. The ministry, like in Eastern Europe, the Lord opened a door for evangelizing churches of different denominations, evangelicals, all kinds. And also, since a few years, the Lord has given us a ministry of healing.
Yes.
Healing the sick. We just went to a hospital, people got healed. And we pray with people who are sick everywhere, in houses, everywhere. We see miracles all the time. That's one thing. And then that's it.
In Eastern Europe, we've been doing, and even now, one of our main ministries, since I know Brother Joseph, it's evangelizing the lost on the streets, in discotheques, in pubs, houses, in families,
tracks,
in schools.
Music, theater.
Theater, yes.
Yes, that's how we met here, to a theater.
Right.
We did a theater in a music pub,
yes.
Where young people used to go. You were a young university girl, and you were going there with other students. It's a place where people smoking marijuana and
I
stuff.
Was the most confused person in town, most lost.
You were 21 years old, right?
I was 20, yeah.
And you gave up your university to follow Jesus. And the way we reach the youth there, as we do many other times, we go with the theater. We just go in the name of artists. Yeah, we're Christian, but kind of artists, mostly. And so the people at the end, they get the point, we pray with the sheep to receive Jesus.
Yes.
Praise God.
And we did for many years also a ministry against the witches, putting in the newspaper articles to reveal the truth about the witches, and they're just deceiving and taking your money and lying.
Yeah.
And that was very nice for many
years. Very liberating from the slaves of the witches. Mm-hmm. And the witches actually went in bankrupt because they stopped putting ads in the newspaper. There were no customers anymore. They were phoning us.
Yes.
And they would double check, are you like witches? Do you charge money? So, no, no. And they couldn't believe it was for free. Say, it's for free. It's paid by Jesus. They would, we would meet them in the park here and there. They would get, usually they would get saved, filled with the Spirit, baptized of the Spirit. They would get delivered from demonic influences. Okay, they completely delivered. And usually their sickness, they would get also healed, miraculous healing. And this went on for a few years, right?
Yeah, and that's how we met Adrian Timothy, who's here with us. He used to work in the police, but he was very sick. He went to the witches, and he was suffering a lot.
And he was getting worse and worse. He couldn't sleep at
night
anymore.
And he found us from the newspaper, and he started getting delivered by reading the Bible, praying, meeting with us. And now he's here as a missionary. He forsook his job.
Praise God.
Forsook his country and everything.
And by the way, he was a policeman.
Yes, he was working in the police.
He even left his job because he was working also as a policeman. God bless him.
Amen.
You have also been writing normal newspaper articles, Christians.
Yeah, the Lord opened a door in some secular newspaper, absolutely secular. And the Lord taught me how to write the gospel message of the end time.
Yeah.
Jesus coming back, the church is asleep when they need to wake up. In a kind of newspaper language. This went on for a few years.
So that's when we started with the radio ministries. In Europe, you've been teaching in many different radios. So now we have a radio of our own.
Yeah, I always wanted a radio of my own so I can get up in the morning and preach. And the Lord just gave it to us. Finally, I'm so happy.
Amen.
He has no rest if he doesn't preach the gospel.
Well, you say, what's the reason for living? Just eat spaghetti? No.
No.
That's not bad in itself, but it's not enough, okay?
Amen.
We need Jesus. We need. If you don't preach the gospel, I think I want to die.
So what are the main ministries now, Joseph and Deborah?
The ministry now, well, is preach the gospel. We preach internationally in many ways. We have a radio, and we have a theater, a gospel theater, which we present in different churches, Protestants and Catholic everywhere. We speak both languages. And we don't believe Jesus is Catholic or Protestant, or evangelical, or Jehovah's Witness. I don't think Jesus belongs to any sect. Mm-hmm. I think there is, any true believers, sincere, will go to heaven as long as they believe in Jesus, the Savior. They go to heaven. It doesn't matter, the Catholic or Protestants. So it's kind of stupid that this religion accusing each other to be of the devil, excommunicate each other. It's absolutely an abomination. It only makes happy the devil, nobody else. Okay? Jesus came for the sinner. So you're a perfect evangelical? Well, let's go to those churches that you think they are bad, they are lost, because Jesus came for them.
Amen.
If you think you belong to a perfect church, well, if you think you're righteous, Jesus didn't come for you. And if you think you're a good church and you say, fine, now let's get up from our church bench, go reach those who are bad. Amen.
This is one of the messages. Amen.
Yes.
But besides this, I want to mention that I know that for a long time the Lord has been giving you end-time messages. Like more and more, the Lord has been increasing your revelations about the prophecies from the Bible, explaining the end time, understanding the world events from the Bible point of view, and revealing to us what's going to happen, what's the next step, how to prepare.
See the prophecies in the daily news.
Because I think we're so close now to the last events of the end time that the Lord really wants to give this message out urgently.
I believe we will see Jesus coming back.
So you have been a lot training missionaries how to evangelize, how to live by faith, because you have all these years of experience.
Yes,
and lots of people, they do it by coming here personally, others by email, by internet, by communicating with us internationally. That's also possible.
Yeah.
So this is one of your main ministries lately, I want to say. These recordings we're doing and training other people how to survive during the Great Tribulation and the end time.
Amen. Thank God for this radio. That is a blessing. And we are also publishing different means through internet, etc. Praise God.
And then all the others in the mission, they have many other ministries, like Deborah, the children, and the other brethren.
God bless you.
They evangelize daily.
I have 6 children and she has 7. How's that there?
Well, so many. You always say you're the 7th.
I'm the number 7. Yeah, praise God, praise God.
But I think I am.
No. I think I am your mission field. You're the most patient. You're an angel next to me.
No, it's true. It's true. She's very patient.
Praise the Lord.
No, I'm learning.
Okay.
So we're doing.
We'll fight it out. Okay.
So we're doing lots of ministries with the young people here, evangelization in houses, in schools, in churches, in farms.
We like to go to farms.
We do many conferences. Sometimes churches invite us to teach seminars on marriage.
Yeah.
Okay, sometimes they're Protestants, sometimes they're Catholic. We go do both. I said, we speak both languages.
They all need it.
Okay, we need to speak both languages. As long as we are honest and we tell them, hey, we go everywhere.
Yes.
Okay.
And then we're doing also lots of humanitarian help, helping people, poor families who need clothes, food, or institution of handicapped people and hospitals.
Yeah, people are
prayer
wondering,
for healing.
See, how do we survive? Well, God bless the people, send the tithe, but it's like God's miracles too. And sometimes we go do food collections for the mission and for others, and we are able to give extra food to the poor families.
Amen.
There's a family here nearby living in a house made of cardboard with children. She's divorced and everything.
Yes.
And she had a house infested with rats. And during the night, the rats running around on the beds, this and that. So the Lord, with the money that some of you, God bless you, brethren, who send the tithe over here, we were able to finance some deratizara, like entire.
This was the other family with the mud house. They had the house made out of mud.
It's not the.
No, the one with the cardboard house, she was a single mother with three children.
Ah, okay.
We also went to bring them things.
Okay, get them mixed up. Anyway.
Yeah.
So anyway, now the rats are all gone. Amen. She's so happy.
Yes.
But the reason we're able to help these people, like materially, is number one, to show that the gospel is not just a Sunday morning sermon. We don't have Sunday morning sermons. We preach every day. Another thing is because your brethren are helping. God bless you.
Amen. All right. Thank you so much, Joseph and Deborah. It's nice to get to know you better.
Oh, praise God.
Oh, hi, Paul. He just arrived.
Hi. Have a beautiful day.
Hey, Paul. How old are you?
9.
Wonderful.
God bless
you. He's our number 4. Praise the Lord.
We'll close here.
Blessings to all of you, dear brethren.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord and praise the Lord. Wait, can I say a couple of words more?
All right.
Yeah, dear brethren, God bless you, protect you in these times. Dark clouds are approaching. The Lord be with you, protect you, your family, your ministry. And if you want your Samsung hair, quotes, to grow and your strength to grow, go witnessing. Love the Lord and go witnessing.
Yes.
You cannot love the Lord and not witness.
Yes.
You know, don't even try to be a missionary. The word missionary in the Bible doesn't exist. Only disciples. Why there is no missionary in the Bible? Because we are all missionaries. Amen?
Amen.
In the name of Jesus
Christ.
We should
be. Thank you, Lord.
We love you all. Have a beautiful day.